Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And I'm your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me every time I turn around, there's another fundraiser for one thing or another. Personally, I have a handful of charities I donate to, ones that have become important to me. But among them are local charities. And in having this discussion with some friends recently, we were talking about cancer charities. It seems like every time we turn on the radio, turn on the TV, there's another one that money's being raised for. And one of my questions was whether or not any of that money comes to Central New York. So in looking through who we could talk to about this, we found Dr. Richard Sills. And Dr. Sills is in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Dr. Sills.
Good morning.
Dr. Sills is a professor of pediatrics at SUNY Upstate and works with pediatric cancer patients, meaning children with cancer. I've got to think that that must be the highs and lows of any kind of doctoring. Am I right?
Well, it is, but there are a lot of joys. Over 70% of children with cancer now survive their disease.
Over 70%?
And so there are a lot of joys to go along with the more difficult times.
I see. Well, let's talk about some of the children's cancers, and then let's go back to this fundraising question that I alluded to, because that really is what precipitated this conversation. Children's cancers, what kinds of cancers are we typically talking about?
The most common cancer that we see in children is leukemia, which is over a third of the patients that we treat have it.
And what kind of cancer is leukemia?
Leukemia is a cancer of blood. It's a cancer of the white blood cells that fight infection. And it was the first cancer for which there really was successful chemotherapy starting around 1950, to the point today that a disease that was uniformly fatal then now has a cure rate that's approaching 90%.
Wow. Now, when you say children, are you talking about babies with leukemia, or are they a little older before they develop it?
We're talking about newborns up to the age of 21, which is the age to which we treat.
Wow. And do we know what causes leukemia?
We're beginning to understand it, but our understanding of why it really happens is still pretty primitive.
You know, that's interesting, because we hear so much about cancer research, and it seems to me that in so many cases, they discover what causes it, and then they can figure out how to attack it. And this is the opposite of that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Here we are just trying all sorts of sometimes very nonspecific approaches, trying to kill these rapidly dividing malignant cells without truly understanding what we're treating. There are some exceptions. There are some specific leukemias for which we now understand better what it causes them and how to specifically treat them. But for most of our patients, it's really kind of shotgun approach of trying different things, but that shotgun approach is working.
Well, children seem so resilient. I have to think that they can probably bear up under an awful lot, that, and that has got to be helpful to them. Is that true?
It is. I think there's also just a difference in the biology. What looks like the same leukemia in adults and in children, actually children do much better. And it's not only their resilience, there's actually probably real differences in their cancers.
I see. What other cancers do you deal with?
Brain tumors are very common, probably the second most common malignancy we see in children, and we're getting more and more successful at introducing chemotherapy for many of these children. And the next most common group would be the cancers of lymph nodes, the lymphomas.
The lymphomas. Now, you mentioned also hematology. I know that you work with oncology, which is cancer treatment, hematology, which is blood treatment?
Correct.
Tell me more about that.
There are a wide variety of hematologic blood disorders in children.
Say that word again.
Hematologic.
Okay, that's a good one. Tell me more.
Some of these are children who develop simple iron deficiency anemia and get better. Some are children who develop bone marrow failure, who actually have diseases so severe that the likelihood of their surviving their disease may be less than that of children who have cancer. Mm-hmm. There are a large number of children with sickle cell anemia in our community, which affects African Americans more than other populations. And this is a very serious lifelong illness that has a number of often very painful complications.
I've heard of sickle cell anemia, but I don't know very much about it. Can you tell us a little bit more? Is there a way of telling if someone has sickle cell anemia if we see somebody, say, on the street? Or is it just something that's in their blood and they have to deal with?
It's in their blood. It's recognized at birth. It's a genetic disorder. We understand how it occurs in the specific genetic defect.
Okay.
The carrier state occurs in 1 in 10 African Americans, and the disease in about 1 in 400. We are getting better at treating this disease, but we have a long way to go.
But you said it's lifelong. Can someone live a long time with sickle cell anemia? Yeah.
The average lifespan for patients with this disease is probably approaching 50.
Wow. Well, at least, but you said it's a painful experience?
There are episodes of pain that are unpredictable that are probably among the most severe, if not the most severe, painful episodes that we see in patients with any disease.
Oh, my gosh. And how is it treated then?
It is treated in some ways by supporting kids through this episode, that we are developing drugs that appear to decrease the likelihood of the disease. We are working toward improving bone marrow transplantation, which right now is the only real cure of the disease, but mm-hmm. it's not available to most of our patients.
Now, all of these special treatments and curing this many children and helping them get through these experiences requires a lot of money, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, and it really requires more than just medical care. Mm-hmm. I mean, health insurance reimburses us to provide medical care, but we try to do much more than that. We try to provide psychological support, psychosocial support, helping families through this, not only helping the child with treatments, but helping the child adjust to returning to school when they've lost their hair are ridiculed.
Yeah.
Helping the siblings who suddenly don't understand why they're not getting any attention mommy and daddy are there. It's a huge part of what we do, and that's what we really need community support for.
Very interesting. Those are aspects that I really hadn't thought about. I tried to put myself in the shoes of a parent whose child has just been diagnosed with cancer. And I'll be frank with you, my first thought was, I would want my child to get the very best care available, and that must be. And then I could think of all of these places that I hear about fundraising. I hear of St. Jude's, and I hear of the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, which I even see at the movies sometimes. Do Central New York children go to those places?
Occasionally, but really very rarely. Probably 99% of children stay right here and actually get the very same therapy they would get at all those other institutions, Memorial Sloan Kettering, St. Jude's, Boston Children's. In the United States, the way we develop the best trials and treatments for childhood cancer is to do it nationally, and we belong here in Syracuse at Upstate Medical University to the Children's Oncology Group. So we are a part of a huge network of the major centers in the United States mm-hmm. treating children with cancer. We've all used the same protocol. So centrally, there are a group of people who develop the best treatment for kids with leukemia, the best treatment for kids with brain tumor, and those protocols are then utilized throughout the membership of the Children's Oncology Group. So our kids are going to get the benefit of those best brains mm-hmm. across the United States and get the same therapy that they would get in Boston, or they would get in New York, or they would get in Memphis, or in Houston.
And yet they can be close to home.
And yet they're close to home. For families to have a child diagnosed with cancer and then to have to pick up, leave their support, mm-hmm. leave siblings behind, not have the grandparents, it is so difficult as it is. That makes it incredibly difficult to be able to at least be near home and have their support systems and have a center big enough to have the experience but small enough to know the name of every child who walks in the door and their siblings makes a tremendous difference to help families deal with this disease.
I hear the passion in your voice. This is clearly something that's very, very important to you. And it occurs to me then, if I'm seeing all of these places, going back to my original question about donating money to help these children, if I hear you correctly, we don't have very many children going to all of these other places. So if I'm sending my money to St. Jude's or to the Jimmy Fund or one of them, I'm not helping Central New York children.
That is essentially correct. You're not.
And I realize you're trying to be politically correct and you're trying to bite your tongue and all of those good things, but I'm thinking now that my checks should be written here locally, shouldn't they?
Yes, it should.
Okay. And I can appreciate that you're being very good about all of that. Well, Dr. Sills, thank you so much for coming by to tell us this morning. I understand better now about children's cancers, and I also know where I'm going to write those checks. I'm excited about the Golisano Children's Hospital. I think that this is going to be huge, and clearly your passion shows right through. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is University Hospital's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.